Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, let's go ahead and hop into this. Heavenly Father, I just praise you. Give your name the honor, the glory that you deserve, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you would just be glorified in what you have for me to share today. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would teach us, dear God, that you would continue to allow us to grow into who you've called each and every one of us to become, dear God. If we don't know you, dear God, like we should, continue to reveal yourself to us so that we know who you are, dear God, because your word says no man or no woman can come to you unless the Spirit draws them, dear God. So draw with your spirit people now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen, amen. So I've been on the back to basics. Somebody say back to the basics. A few people say back to basics. Come on, help me out. Talk to me. Thank you, Sister Jane. Yes, we're going back to the basics. And what does that mean? He already got it going. But back to the basics is very important because sometimes, I don't know about you, but if you've been working your job for a while, I know Precious and Tanya, they've been at their job for a while. And if something comes up and you're like, man, I don't remember how to do that back there. I don't remember this thing here. I got to get back in my memory to remember some things. But in Christianity, it's essential to make sure we remember the excitement that we have when we first gave our life to Christ. Because how many of you know there's going to be life? Somebody say life. Life is going to happen. And when life happens, it is trying to take all the excitement out of you, especially when you give your life to God. Just wait a little bit and you'll see that same way that you woke up. Oh, I'm just excited. You're going to wake up one morning and be like, oh, I got to force myself to be excited. Right? There's going to be days where you're going to have to go back to what the word of God says and apply it. Okay. So we've talked about prayer. A couple of things that we talked about. We talked about interceding. We talked about presenting your requests to God. And then we also talked about spending time with God. Those three things, they are now available on the podcast. You guys can check that out if you go to newcreationwa.org, or if you need help getting it on your phone, I will do that before you leave. Amen. But also we have to read. Today we're talking about read and applying the word of God. How many of you know that you cannot be a, what's the best word I want to put right here? You cannot be a strong believer without using the word of God. Now that was one word I wanted to use, but there's another word that I'm trying to think of. But kids, somebody say you can't make it. You can't make it if you don't got the word of God in you. I'm talking to my kids right now, and I tell them, if you don't read the Bible, you will be deceived. Okay? That's why I say, man, get up. We get up before school. They lollygagging. I'm like, did you read your Bible? We got little devotions. I mean, there's like a couple scriptures. Read that. I want you to get this in your spirit, because if you know the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you will be lost. That's why somebody can come in what we call these churches, and since people are not reading their word, they can tell them something contrary to what God's word says. And when that happens, because you are not grounded in truth, the Bible says the blind lead the blind. How does that happen? It happens when you are not seeing what his word. So I definitely agree that you must stay in the word of God. You must read it. But as the word of God says, do not just read. Do not be hearers only, but be doers of the word of God. Amen. So that's what we must do. So we're talking reading and applying the word of God. My first point is we must daily read God's word. Okay, now let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 through 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And we'll just go all the way through 14, okay? It says, Now, as he, and he is capitalized. So when we see capitalization in the Bible, oh, they got a new backdrop on there. he capitalized means what? God. Okay, everybody say it now. He, when it's capitalized, it means? Unless it's at the beginning of a sentence. Sometimes, you know, we capitalize certain things. But when you see he in the Bible that is capitalized outside of the beginning of a sentence, it's referring to God. Okay? Or in this case, Jesus. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, check it out. Do you know that even today, people have these same questions? And instead of reading their Bible, they get YouTube happy. Right? Hey, did you read this? Did you hear this? Did you see this video? Hey, man, I heard this truth and you got to go watch it. This is crazy. I saw, I ain't even going to name these people. I saw on somewhere, because if I even say where it is, some people will get. But I saw this somewhere where somebody was referring to a book that a man made. And there was one of my friends. He said, it's funny how when a man writes a book, you believe everything that man says. But when the Bible says it wasn't just written by man. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit taught or spoke to them what to write, right? And he said, it's funny that you would believe this book that a man wrote over the word of God that the Spirit of God wrote through these people. And he was like, that's kind of interesting. And I just watched, I was like, that's a cold one. But it's the truth. My dad said it like this. When you read the dictionary, do you be like, nah, that's not true. That's not true. I read the dictionary. Oh, man, that can't be right. That was written a million years ago, right? I mean, you can say the same thing about the Bible, right? But people do the same thing with the Bible. That's not relevant today. Right? Or they just try to discredit it because if you don't know the truth, you're going to be duped. Amen? And to thinking something else is truth. So it's important that we get in the word on the daily. And Jesus answered and said to them, what does he say here? Take heed that no one deceives you. This is one reason why we must read the word, because we cannot be deceived when we know his word. Amen. How can you be deceived? Have you ever had somebody speak something over your life and it wasn't what God had for you? Right? I remember I was at I believe that people can speak into your life. I definitely believe that. But sometimes I feel like when you start comparing yourself to whoever you're speaking over, there's something a little off right there. Okay? So I remember this man, he spoke into my life and he was saying some good things. And then he was like, he said something and he was like, because I can't. And I was like, OK, you know, that's kind of interesting. You know, so I just listened to him and, you know, everybody, I don't never just fault anybody. So I was like, OK, cool. That's cool. That's that. He might have just felt that, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. OK. So we learn from the things because there is a way that God does it. How do I know that? That's something that has to be checked, because God says never judge somebody according to your standards. Right? The same thing that God has for you is not the same thing he has for me. I cannot judge you according to me because you're not me. And I'm not, somebody say, everybody say, I am not the standard. That means that just because you have something right and somebody has it wrong, it doesn't mean that you are the standard. Because the Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Every single one of us. Okay? So even as a pastor, I can admit that I have sinned and fall short of his glory. But thanks be to God that I have a connection with him. I can repent from those sins and I can be in right standing with God. That's the great thing about God. I can mess up, but he can get me back up if I accept his sacrifice. Amen. So don't beat yourself up when you fall. Get back up. The Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times. And just for the record, seven times, you guys keep hearing me talk about numbers. Seven is not That doesn't mean you messed up seven times literally. Because somebody might read that and be like, I messed up. Dang, that was the sixth time. If I mess up again, I can't get back up. Seven is a number of completion. So that means if you keep on messing up, but you still keep getting back up, you still keep repenting, God will forgive you. How do we know that? Because even in the Bible, the disciples asked, how many times should we forgive somebody? He said 70 times seven. Okay, so, which is 490. If you keep in count of how many times you forgive somebody, you got the wrong spirit. That was 400 times. If he got 90 more times. Man, no, that's not how it works. Okay? So it says, take heed that no one deceives you. Amen? For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Catch that. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So there's many things that are going to happen. When somebody is like, Jesus is, you know, we've seen on TV sometimes where, quote unquote, this prophet has figured out when Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back on this date, right? First of all, he's fake because no man knows the hour. That's what the Bible says. Okay. No man knows the day nor the hour. I don't care how spiritual that person acts. When they start doing things that supersede what God's word says, but you got to know his word. So that doesn't happen. Amen. I was doing a recording with somebody, and we went to this place, and I ain't going to say the information about it. I try not to blast people, right? But it was cool. But then there was one thing on the very bottom, and I looked at it. I was a little disturbed about it. I was like, what? Where did that come from? Right? So as we were sitting there, they kept saying certain stuff, and I'm like, I'm not feeling that, man. Not feeling that. Because what they did was they had most of the stuff right. But then they had one thing where they could pretty much, if they switch this thing, it changes everything, okay? So, for example, anybody heard of Mormons before? Yes. Okay? Now, the Mormons, especially the ones that come to your door, they'll swear up and down they're Christians. They'll give you the book, the Bible. We believe the Bible, but we have another book. Right? And it was spoken by a prophet who had another revelation. Catch it. Another revelation. Because what happens is they follow that prophet more than they follow the word of God. Right? No prophet in the Bible ever super exceeded the word of God. Ever. Even John the Baptist, the Bible said that he was the greatest prophet. Right? He even said, I've come to bear witness of the truth. They asked him, hey, John the Baptist. I'm sorry. I said Jonah. They asked him, John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? They asked him that. And he could have been like, yeah, I'm the Messiah. If he wanted to supersede the word of God. But he said, no, I'm not even worthy enough. This prophet said, I'm not worthy enough even to untie his sandals. This is the prophet that Jesus said was the greatest prophet ever. And his declaration to the word of God was, I'm not even worthy to stand in his presence. So we have to be careful that we don't allow other people to supersede what the word of God says. Not people, not their circumstances or past situations. Because I know a lot of Christians that will say, well, I went through this and I don't know if the word of God works because last time I tried this and it worked. Guess what? That's not God's word. It might have looked like it worked because the Bible says this, that sin is pleasing for a season. Right? Sin will not immediately kill you. Come on. We've all sinned. We're not dead. Right? But there is consequences to your sin. There is consequences that you must face for what, doing what you do. A lot of people look at David, King David, when he messed up with Bathsheba, and somebody be like, oh, there's no consequences. Yes, there were. If you actually look, the reason why the kingdom was taken from the household of David was because of that situation. Moses, one of the greatest men in the Word of God, didn't even make the promised land. Now, I'm still like, God, that was a little cold, man. 40 years in the wilderness, you lead these people, and all you can do is see it because he sinned. And God had to put him back in his place. Amen. But thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Even when we mess up, there will be consequences, but God forgives. Verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning. If we want to know when Jesus is coming back, we have to see a lot of this right here. Okay? This is he's saying there's going to be a lot of, basically, the world is going to be in chaos. Then he says this, then, in verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation. And what does it say? And kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, we still kind of Christians now, we're not really hated like that yet by all nations. There are some nations that can't stand races of people, but I don't believe that they are totally against Christians. There are some that are. But it's not to the point where all nations are there yet. But it says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then it says, then again. So this is all the stuff that happens. It has then this, then that, then this. And then it says, then many false prophets, again, it says the same thing, will rise up and deceive many. Why? Because they're not reading the word of God. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, hallelujah, there's some hope in here, right? But he who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So what we see there is many things that are coming and received because they're not in the word of God. And I'm saying it's important for us. What's one subject that you felt like you knew the most in school? Come on, somebody share something with me. Some of us like, photography. You took photography in school? Yeah. Okay, so did you enjoy photography? Yeah. You did it like almost every day, right? See? The things we know the most, we do constantly. Right? If you want to be smart in a subject, do it constantly. Make it be part of your day. If we want to know God's word, it has to be part of our daily lives. It's very important to me for the word of God to be a primary thing in my life. Not only that, but something that I prioritize. So I've told you guys before, what I do is I have these devotionals. I do some of them with my wife. I do some of them with some of my family members. I've done a couple with Tamron before. And you just read these devotionals, and then you can even comment on them. Some of them are not long. Some people want to do the long ones with me. I'm like, no, this is too long. I just want to do this one by myself. But I read the Bible every day so I can be attentive to what his word says, but also so he can still teach me. See, some of us get to the point where I've read the Bible. The Bible is not like a best-selling book that you just read one time and be like, I read that. The Bible says, the word of God says that it is living and active. Okay, so that means I might read the Bible one time, come back to that same verse maybe 2 years later and be like, dang, I never knew that's what it meant. Because God's word is constantly revealing itself to you. You can keep quoting, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." You can keep saying that scripture, but there's going to be something that happens one day and you'd be like, "Dang, that was talking about me." Right? We see people with the John 3:16 signs, and the reason why people keep holding that up is because God may reveal somebody to somebody who he was dying for that day. And sometimes we, even as other Christians, we look at them and be like, "They're wasting their time." Can't waste your time when you're with the word of God. Now, I can't agree with everything people do with those signs always, right? But the Bible says the world will think it's foolish when you have the word of God. And how many times have you ever been to a baseball game? You see them with the word of God. They even got a blowhorn and they preaching. People mock them. That's how you know God's doing something. Because they coming around and they mocking them and talking about them and doing all kind of stuff. I've seen all kind of stuff when people got signs like that. So what I do is I just be like, "God, use what he's doing today. Let him even see the fruit today." Because they can get discouraged. They're trying to share the gospel. They're sharing the word of God. We must be in the word. Amen. Let's go to my next passage. It's John chapter 8. Verse 31 through 36. One thing about the word of God is it will set you free. Amen. If you read the word of God and apply the word of God, not only read and apply, but you believe his word, you will be set free. It says this: "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him," check it out. The word of God becomes powerful when you believe. Okay, check this out. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" That actually had a nice little rhyme to it. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" So what is he saying? "Hey, we've never been slaves. What are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus, I've never been a slave before in my life. We're from Abraham, right? We weren't slaves." Actually, I don't know what Abraham they was reading. So, because that's a little confused. First of all, they were confused because Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had the son Joseph, right? Joseph went to Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. Then they went from there to the, they went 400 years to 40 years in the desert until they had their land. But they're saying, "Me personally, I've never been a slave." But you're still under the Roman, you know, it's interesting. But Jesus answered him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Okay, so Jesus flipped the script. He's not even talking about natural slaves. Okay? Many of us get caught up in so many things that are natural that we miss. There are spiritual elements that the Bible talks about. If I am a sinner, I am a slave to sin. Actually, you can read in Romans chapter 3, 6, and 12, I believe. It talks about being slaves to sin, right? But it says in there, "Thanks be to God that I've been set free from sin and I've become a slave of righteousness." Okay? That's what happens when you accept Jesus. So what does it say? Jesus said to those who believe, "If you abide in my word, I will set you free." His word will make you free. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197
to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Some of us feel like we're so stuck in sin and so stuck in this flesh that we have. But if we start reading the word of God and believe in his word, you can say, I'm not that person anymore. Thank God I'm not that person anymore. I might have had a serious issue with pride, but the Bible says that he humbles the pride. The pride he humbles, but he gives grace to those that are humble. Right. So I'm like, God, help me be humble. Right. Help me, because that's what his word says. Right. If I had a problem with seeing, God, I'm saying, God, first cover my eyes, God. Help me protect my eyes so that I can be pleasing to you. I saw David say that plenty of times. I don't even want to put something that's not, not healthy for my spirit in front of my eyes. I must shield myself from those things because I want to honor God. That's what happens when you start reading the word and you start saying, okay, God, I want to be that. God, I want to be what your word says. Amen. Verse 35 says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So what does it say there? It says that not only when you come to Christ, you are no longer a slave. You are now a child of God. You are now a son. You are now a daughter. Because it says a slave can only stay in the house for so long. Right? Or a worker doesn't. If when somebody works for somebody, you might be there for a while. But you don't live there. But God is saying, live with me. Abide with me. I've set you free and now I have made you my children. And it says, you shall be free indeed. So the word of God will make us free. Amen. Let's go real quick back to Matthew. Chapter 7, verse 21. And we'll go all the way to the end of the chapter. Knowing God comes from knowing his word. Okay, if you want to know who God is, you have to read his word. I was just doing a devotional on the names God. God has many names. And when we don't even catch some of those names or we just go past them, we miss who he really is. And not only just reading the names, but understanding what those names mean. Right? Jehovah Jireh, everybody's heard that. That means he's my provider. We got a song that says it. That helps us remember, right? Jehovah Nisi, he reigns in victory, right? Jehovah Shalom, he's the God of peace. When you start seeing his names and start referring to him as his names, it helps you understand who he is in your life. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Okay, so what is that saying? Just because you call God Lord doesn't mean that you're walking in what he's called you to walk in. Okay, now we get quiet when we hear this, these kind of things, but you must do, and she got the shirt on today, you must do the will of God. Bishop Freeze, he came and shared that when he came on a tour with Dariah. He was, their whole thing was, not my will, but your will be done. You have to submit to God, but you also have to read his word so you know what his will is. Okay, you cannot say, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, and you never read your Bible. Because he really wants you to just read it. Just open it up. Right. And I'm not saying just turn to a page and just do what that page says. Be careful with that stuff. God's word is not a magic trick. OK. If you don't know what to read, maybe sitting even on the podcast and you're like, what should I read first? I always tell people to read the Gospels. And Jesus didn't die four times. It's just they do it by four different point of views. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's very important to catch that. Know who he is. Some people say read Proverbs. I say that's cool, but I think you need to know who Jesus is first for this thing to work. Okay? You got to know who Jesus is so this thing works. You got to see what he went through, why he went through it, the things that he did to deliver us. Amen? So you must know his will to know God. And it says, many will say to me, dang, he keeps saying this, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I, Jesus says, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All right, now that's crazy because they might have seemed like they were successful. But lawlessness means they didn't obey his word. That's really what that whole thing is. You who practice lawlessness. The word of God, and it's not just talking about the Ten Commandments, it's talking about knowing his word. When I know his word, it keeps me and helps me obey his law. So I don't even have to be, the Bible says, once you obey his law, you don't have to be a slave to the laws of the land. Right? If I'm obeying what the word of God says, I'm not going to be just wilding out when I get out of here. Why? Because I have somebody else I'm held accountable to. Right? K-9, he's a rapper, a Christian rapper that came to our we brought out a long time ago. One of the things he would always say is he's against us. There is no law. And I was like, what are you saying, man? What's that? And he's talking about the fruits of the spirit. When you have the fruits of spirit in your life, at the end of that, it says, and against such, there is no law. And he made that just part of what he says all the time. You know, like if you give him some food, he'd be like, against us, there is no law. You know, so I was cracking up and I was like, OK, cool. But what we see is when you walk in the things of God, it keeps you from disobeying the law. Amen. But then it says, Jesus continues and says, therefore, somebody say, therefore. You got to say it like you preaching, though. Come on, help me out. Say, therefore. Okay, got a couple preachers in there. Therefore, whoever hears these words or these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, storms and everything else you could think of in life, they came and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And they should have capitalized that. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, I'm not going to say anything bad about the scribes. It's not my job. But the people recognized the difference when somebody knew the word of God. Right? They recognized that Jesus knew the word of God, but he also walked in the word of God. I feel the Spirit saying, your authority comes from when you walk in his word. Your authority comes from when you walk in the will of God. That's when you can be bold. That's when you can stand strong, because now I'm walking on sure ground. The Bible talked about that right there. It said that those who live and obey and do my word, they will be like that person that builds a house upon a rock. Now, I don't know, do you guys ever see people building houses? You know how long it takes for them to get the foundation It might seem like they ain't doing nothing, but they're building the foundation, right? After that, the rest of the house is fast. Everything else gets done quick. I take my kids home. I drop another kid that goes to the school with us off, and there's like a little place where they, you know how they, this whole section is new house is being built, and we would see them, and towards the, I think I started driving them maybe after Christmas or something. You would see like the house is barely being built, but they were focusing on that foundation. A big old truck would come in and drop all this cement in there so they can get the foundation right. See, check this out. You can have a nice house, but if the foundation is not right, it will fall. Even today, right? If there's cracks in your foundation, you will fall. How can you fill those cracks? How can you get your foundation right? By obeying God's word. Check it out. Here, this is how you get cracks in your foundation. God's word says this, but I'm going to try it this way. Right? I think, you know what, God? This time I got it. Let me go ahead and do it on my own. And what he's saying is, your foundation is cracking. And that's not a good thing. Right? Your foundation is cracking because you are not standing on me. Paul said it like this. I have laid the foundation. If anybody comes and builds something up that is not of Christ, it shall not stand. Okay? Your foundation must be sure. This is what happens when you read and apply the word of God. I cannot say, okay, I'm just going to do it my own way, because I have to continue to say, not my will, but your will be done. God, I told my kids today in the Bible study we did, it was talking about a scripture, and I was like, without God, I have to always recognize that I am nothing. I am nobody without God. I need God daily. Amen? And we must recognize that. Anybody else need God daily, or just me? Is it just me? All right, praise God. Last scripture. Psalms chapter 119, and we're going to read the whole chapter, so get comfortable. No, I'm just playing. If you don't know, Psalms chapter 119 is the longest book in the Bible. Guess how many verses is in there? Like 170-something. Let me just, I think it's 170. 176, okay? So we are not reading that whole chapter, but you can on your own. Praise God. Amen. I encourage you, as I continue to say, read the whole Bible. Even if you don't understand it, just read it. And be like, God, help me understand. First of all, that's what you need to do. Say, God, help me understand your word. And I'm going to be honest, even as a pastor, there's parts of the Bible that I read and be like, I don't get what's going on. But I'm going to keep on reading, right? And I know, God, next time I come through this passage, you'll help me understand what's going on. Like, Ezekiel has a lot of stuff going on in Ezekiel, right? And sometimes it's like, okay, they kept building the temple. The temple got tore down. They built it again. It's like, okay, cool. All the cubits and stuff, you know, I'm not really into the cubits. But I'm reading it to see, like, dang, God has order even in the way things were built, right? And I'd be like, okay, God, continue to teach me what you want me to get from this. But I always have to stay grounded and attentive to what his word says. All right, so we're reading the Bible, and it says this. I like this right here. How, somebody say how, can a young man cleanse his ways? Or maybe it's a young woman. How can a young woman, I'm sorry, Psalms 119. He's like, which verse? Oh, there's 176 in there. You better catch up, brother. Verse 9, man, I'm messing with you. All right. It says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. You want to get clean? You must take heed to what his word says. When it says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So you have to, first of all, apply the word of God to your life. Then you have to seek him and not half-heartedly, says with your whole heart. It says this, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Or it says again, sin against you. Now, growing up, I went to Christian schools. You know, they got the pledges to the American flags. At a Christian school, you pledge to the American flag, but then you also pledge to the Christian flag. And it says, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to whose savior for this, whose kingdom it stands. One nation under God, mighty and indivisible, living in justice. Ah, dang, I can't remember it. But it says this right here. Then you also pledge to the word of God. And it says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now, for some people that don't pledge to the things like the Bible and even following Jesus as a Christian, right, or a follower of Jesus, they think that's a little bit weird. But we pledge to a flag. I think that's a little weird. Okay, let's get it straight. That flag didn't die for me, right? And I'm very respectful for what we have here, but the flag didn't die for me. Some people may have died to help us get here, but that's not greater than the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Because I can be in America, I can be in Africa, I can be in Europe, and because of the blood that was shed for me by Jesus Christ on Calvary, I can be set free no matter where I live. Yeah. All right? So we must pledge to his word. And I'm not telling you to make up something and, oh, I'm a pledge. Your life should be pledged to his word. Every time I read this, it should be like, man, I need to take the time out to spend with this word. I need to see what God is saying because he's speaking through this word. This is how God speaks to you. Have you ever said, I want to know what God is saying? And if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to hear him. You're not going to hear him. God does speak to his people now. The more you read the Bible, the more you know his voice. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And that's not a statue. It's saying statutes, your laws, the way you do things. With my lips, I have declared all the judgment of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. How many of us get like that? We rejoice more in God and his word than riches. Now, see, if we did a test and I said $5,000 right here, you could take that or you could take this scripture right here and get full revelation of what this scripture actually means. Unfortunately, even in the church, some people are going to be like, I'll take the five. Hallelujah. Because they value that more than they value his word. Right? And it's very important that we don't get there. Right? Because, I mean, come on, be real. How many of you would want $5,000 right now? Right? If we was on Oprah, you got five. You taking it home, right? You can have it. There's no taxes or nothing. But we don't really see them doing that with the word of God. Because people don't value God's word. But I'll tell you this. Somebody just told me their testimony the other day. And they said they were in a hotel trying to get away from God, doing all kind of things. But the word of God was there. It was in that hotel room and they read it and they was like, God, I need to get back. I need to get back. Why? Because God's word is living and active. Right? It's funny that the Bible is always around us, but we don't never grab it until we're in a struggle. Spiritually. God's word should not be a last resort. You should not be having the Bible under your pillow thinking it's going to help you. Now, hold up. Somebody's like, did he just say that? But somebody, they told me to sleep with the Bible under my pillow so I get it in my spirit. It's not getting in your spirit like that. I guarantee you. If you ain't reading it, it's not protecting you. Okay? You can't hold the Bible in front of your chest thinking it's going to save you. The Bible is a book. But when you open a book and you read it and you accept this as God's word, then something changes. It's not literally, the Bible says it is a sword. It's a sword in the spirit, but it is not a sword in the natural. You can't swing it at somebody and save your life. Okay? We gotta understand what God's word is. Sometimes, I mean, we see people doing all kind of gimmicks with the word of God, and it doesn't work. In verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Last verse says, I will delight myself. What does delight mean? Delight means be excited about. Right? God's word says if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. God rewards you when you're in his word. When you're excited about the things of God, he rewards you. It says, I will delight myself in your statutes. Once again, it's not a statue. It's his word. It's his laws. And it says, I will not forget your word. Listening to God and being excited about what his word says is very important to applying and reading his word. In this day that we live, it's more important now than ever to be reading his word of God. I mean, back in the Roman days, Christians were killed. They were thrown to the lions. But many of them still worship God in the midst of that. Why? Because they saw the value of the word of God. And they wouldn't even allow harm to their bodies to separate them from the word of God. Now there's people in China doing the same thing. We got to read. Where are we going to go? We're going to go under the tunnel. We're going to have a Bible study over there so we can stay in his word. There's so many people that don't have what we have. And many times we forget that we have the word of God. But we have to apply this word of God so we do not be deceived. I think America is easier to be deceived because we have so many distractions keeping us from his word. Right? Sometimes your job can be a distraction. Amen. Sometimes your bills can be a distraction. Amen. Sometimes your children, hallelujah, as holy as they are, amen. Sometimes they can be a distraction because we worried or we're trying to do so many things. We have so many things that keep us busy. But sometimes we have to be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Get into his word. Know that he is God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that this word will build us into who you called us to be, God. That you teach us through your word, dear God. That you strengthen us through your word. Dear God, that we understand who we are called to be as we read the word. Dear God, that you would even lead and direct us in our personal lives. God, that your word would convict, dear God. That your word would strengthen us, oh God. It would also teach us, dear God, how to do all things that you've called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.